how things were going to work today. Because to be honest with you, I'm used to being in a building, standing behind a little podium, sometimes a big podium, depends on where you are. There's air conditioning. There aren't bugs. The sun's not beating down on you. It's kind of a controlled thing, right? The wind's not blowing your paperwork and turning your pages for you. It's pretty crazy. We've been having a drive-in church here. And that's awesome, guys. Gives people a chance to get together, but yet maintain what is dictated to us. That's awesome. A lot of changes are brought about by this virus, this COVID-19 virus. But this one is very, very interesting to me. Your structure. Think about this. Your church structure is interesting. Why is that interesting? Because we're geared to doing things a certain way. The church is in a building and the preacher stands up front. That's our comfort zone. This is no comfort zone. But if you look at the beginnings of the church in the Bible, this is what they were doing, man. Let me clue you in a little bit. We'll go back to the basics. It's what you've done. It is what you've done. If you want to look with me in Acts chapter 2, beginning verse 36, at the beginnings of the church age, we'll talk about it in a minute. Peter's preaching the first sermon in the church age, and he's a fisherman. I can't imagine that was very eloquent or whatever, but he said what the Holy Spirit led him to say. God's power was making this happen, not his strength. And he said, "Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." He was calling out the people. "You killed Jesus." That's what he said. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off." That's speaking of us. "For all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. 3,000 people, instant church. Man, that's a big church, right? That's big. You think they had a building? No, they didn't have a building. They were outside. They didn't have enough chairs, right, Wayne? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Outside, people. Outside. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, as this was going on, they had problems. Is that a surprise? No, because people are involved, right? People bring problems. So Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, about 3 in the afternoon. I'm glad we're not doing that today, to be honest with you. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, learn to talk, Ed, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. That was awesome, wasn't it? God gave them this sign for the people so that they would believe, yes, he's here. At the same time, you got the religious leadership, the Sanhedrin, and they don't like it because they're losing their battle that they started when they killed Jesus. And so they pull Peter and John in, and they're interrogating them. And Peter said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we're being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed." And they called on them, "You stop teaching in this man's name." And they answered them boldly, "Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help speaking about what we've seen and heard." And after further threats, they let them go because they couldn't figure out how they could punish them without having the people in mob form come after them, because this man was healed. It was an undeniable miracle that God gave to the church to start it off with a bang. Now, you're probably thinking, what has that got to do with today? I'm sitting out here sweating, Ed. Get it going. Come on. God's Holy Spirit was dancing in flames of fire on the heads of these people as they were speaking the word. His power was thick. He was everywhere. And I'm going to tell you something. They had more problems than you could shake a stick at. And it didn't have to do with the power of God. And it wasn't because God was failing, because God never fails. People do. We have a problem in our society right now. You know what it is? Hate. People decided to hate. They were hating back then. The Sanhedrin hated Jesus. They killed him. They hated the apostles. Guess what they did to all of them? Oh, yeah. Eventually they were all murdered. There's a lot of hate in our world today. People decide to hate based on differences, right? If somebody's a different color, or if they believe a different way, or if they come from a different country, or if they think a different direction, we just hate them rather than get to know them, maybe show them God's love. The first time I walked into a church building, people, I didn't match with everybody else in that building at all. And it's just a good thing that they didn't hate me. I was very different from them. I was in there freaking out. I thought, man, I'm in here with a bunch of Jesus freaks. Yeah, I was kind of scared. What are they going to do to me? You know what they did? They loved on me. They fed me dinner. That's why I stayed. And they changed my outlook and they changed my life. They introduced me to Jesus. And it was beautiful. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Loving, not hating. But how did a church back in that day have a problem with hate? God's power, like I said, was manifest everywhere. How did they have that problem? It's the same way we have it today, people. Nice car. Like the sound. Our hate isn't something we picked up this morning off our dressers before we left the house. It's something that was taught to us. It's something that was passed down to us. It's something that was there for a long time, just like it was in Jerusalem in that first church. That hate was between the Jewish people and the Gentiles. You see, the church back in the early years was mostly Jewish people. They were meeting in the temple courts. Was anyone else really made to feel welcome in the Jewish temple courts? No. If you were a Gentile, what did they do when they saw you? Well, you remember the story of the Good Samaritan, where the guy was robbed and the Jewish people looked at him and thought, I'm going to walk by on the other side of the road. I'm not even going to look. Okay, but somebody from another race, you know. Hate them. Why? Because they're different. That's not okay, people. It's not okay. God's word says so. I'll show you where. Go to Acts 10. It's a pretty short distance. Acts 10 reads, at Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 in the afternoon, he had a vision. And he saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. And he stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He's staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the sea. And so Cornelius did exactly what the angel told him to do. And Peter was told, go down and see Simon the Tanner. Kind of an odd thing to get a command to do that, but he did it. And he's waiting. Because there was a meal being prepared and he was hungry, wanted something to eat. And while that meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. And heaven opened up and something like a large sheet was being let down to earth by its four corners. And the word says it contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds of the air. And a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I've never eaten anything impure or unclean. And that happened 3 times. The Jewish people were given strict instructions about what they could eat and what they shouldn't eat. And this seemed to fly in the face of that. What did it all mean? While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the men sent by Cornelius found out where Simon's house was and stopped at the gate. They called out, asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. And Peter was told, go with these men. And so he did. And when they got to Cornelius' house, he began to speak with him. And he asked him, you know, what's going on here? I came without raising any objection. May I ask why you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was in my house praying, and suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me, and I was told to send for you. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. And Peter began to speak, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. And he preached Christ crucified. And he baptized a Gentile household. Because God told him, yeah, they are my people too. And guess what? We have no right to hate anybody. I'm going to stand here. I'm going to finish this up quick as it is getting plenty hot. We are called to pass the love of God on. Man, we're sitting here in the original church form right now, kind of doing what they were doing. Does it feel powerful to you? Do you feel God's Spirit here? Do you feel God's love today? Do you know that we live in a world that doesn't know what love is? Do you know? Are you messing my camera? Yep. Quit messing my camera. Do you know that God has called on us to change things up? No hate ever in the church for any reason. And you might say to me, well, we don't have hate. Yeah? Really? Let me challenge you a little bit. How many times has somebody come into your presence that you thought, I don't get this. I don't understand this. I don't like this about that person. Is that different? No, that's hate. You're supposed to love people. Not everybody walks up to you in perfect condition. Not everybody walks up to you as a churched human being. Not everybody walks in here that don't have real problems, guys. I don't care what their situation is. I don't care what their reputation is. I don't care what they've done in their past. I don't care what they're doing right now. God loves them, and He's calling them into your midst, and He's calling you to love them, and He's calling you to embrace them in the name of Jesus Christ, and He's calling you to teach them about who God is. And you can't teach somebody how God is and who He is and how much He loves them while you're beating them over the head. And so hate has no place. And so we have a responsibility as the church in this world to do things differently. And maybe it's good that we're outside. Maybe it's good that we're not in a building. Maybe it's good that we don't have the doors, the walls. Maybe it's good that we're out here, right in front of God and everybody, like they always said, right? Doing our thing as the church. Remember, when you're doing your thing as the church, love people first, or it isn't going to matter. You can love God all day, but if you don't love His children, you don't really love Him. You're just saying the words, man. Don't just say the words. Do the deeds. I'm going to tell you something. There are people all around you in your neighborhoods that don't have money for food or rent or living because their jobs have been shut down. And if you're not doing something about that, then you don't love them. If God shows you somebody that's in need, you go make something happen. Even if it's a little something, you go make something happen. Show them love. That's what we're called to do. There's no difference in any of us. The ground at the foot of the cross is level. We all come to Christ the same way. We're sinners. We're not worthy of God. We all need to repent. We all need to follow Him. We all need to love people to make a difference. So get up and go out, quit sweating, and make a difference in your world. Love somebody. That means action. It doesn't mean, oh, I love you. It means do something about it. Let's be the church for real today. Not just say the words. Let's pray together. Father, I thank You for this time that we can gather, and even if we're sweating, that's good. It's okay. I just pray that You'll bless this group. I pray that You'll bless the community that it serves, and I pray that You'll bless the mission, that You'll show us all where we need to go and the things that we need to do to bring about Your will, to bring about change in our society. I pray that You'll help us to lead the way as Your children. Help us to have simple faith and simple obedience and open hearts. I pray that You'll guide us, that You'll show us opportunity to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.